Okay, so I trust that you are enjoying your summer holidays. I'd like to start by telling you about my summer holiday. We went to Scotland. We went to South Scotland on the west coast for 1 week. It was very wet. So the following week we moved across to the east coast where it should be drier, shouldn't it? It was even wetter. I got home and started to unpack, and I pulled out these things that looked like trousers but didn't have much leg to them. I think they're called shorts. And I said to Anne, "Yeah, I never used those shorts, did I?" And she said, "Yes, you did." I went, "Oh, there was a day." We had moved from one house to another house with our mountain bike on top of the car. We arrived on Saturday evening. It was raining. So I thought, I'll keep the bikes on top, I'll sort them out on Sunday morning, when it was dry. It wasn't dry on Sunday morning, and I began to wonder whether these bikes were actually going rusty on the top of my car. So I put my shorts on, and a pair of flip-flops and a t-shirt, went out in the rain to take the bikes off the car and sort them out. So I did use my shorts. On returning to Durham, we were greeted by some friends of ours who said just last week, a question to me, "So which month, Ian, is the wettest month of the year?" And you know, in your heart, you want to say, "Well, it's November. It's winter time." But you know, because they've asked you the question, that they actually know that August is the wettest month of the year. So why are we holidaying in August? I have yet to realise. And then you get a phone call from somebody who's in the south of England, in a caravan, who says, "Oh, I've got a lovely suntan. The grass here is so brown because we've had so much sun and there's been so much drought down here. That's nice. Great." And then I realised it's all my own fault. I knew I was preaching today, so before I went on holiday, I was praying about what to preach on. And I felt God clearly say to me, "I want you to preach about Noah and the flood." So I now have greater empathy with what those guys went through. Now, I won't read out the whole story because it's three chapters long, but if you want to turn in your Bibles or search in your apps to Genesis 6, 7, 8, I'll refer to kind of a few verses we go through. If you have that open, that might help. Just to summarise the story for those of you who may not know it, but at this time, the world is full of sinful people that are under God's righteous judgment. But there's one man and his family that are given a way to survive that. And Noah and his family build an ark and they are saved. So this morning I want to look at this in three sections. Be really simple. Firstly, what can we learn from Noah? Secondly, what can we learn from God? And then thirdly, what is our response to that? How are we reacting? How can we learn from what they've done? So firstly, Noah. Noah was told to build a boat. I want us to really think what this means. And imagine what this is like. The boat he built was 140 metres long, which is 450 feet, 75 feet wide, or 23 metres, and 45 feet deep, or 14 metres deep. This room here is 20 metres. Okay? So if you started from that wall and walked through there to the kind of middle of the corridor over here, that will give you an idea. That's 23 metres. That will give you an idea of the width of the ark. Okay? The length of the ark, 140 metres long, is 8 times longer than this hall. So 8 lengths of this hall gives you the size of the ark. He was told to build it with 3 decks in. In all our children's Bibles, we always see the ark as this boat-shaped thing, don't we? But I think scholars reckon it was more of a barge, a flat-bottom boat, which is much, much easier to build. But God speaks to you. You've probably got no idea what a boat might look like. And he tells Noah to build this ark, build this boat. How is he going to do that? He had no tools to use Certainly no chainsaws. If he wanted to get some wood, he didn't phone up B&Q and ask for a delivery. He'd have had to go off to a forest and cut down the wood to then strip it down to then start building the ark together. It was a huge engineering task. There would have been no way to do an AutoCAD design to test out if this ark would actually float. He couldn't take it somewhere and practice because it's too big to move. And he was building this ark over many years. And I know this is not kind of in scripture, but can you imagine Noah coming back from work? He's been working at whatever he does. And he says to his wife, oh, I'd love to watch TV. Now, I know the TV's not in. I'd love to, but I've got to go out and I've got to continue to build that ark because God's told me to build that ark. And this must have gone on for years and years and years. Primitive tools. We have no idea who is helping him in the ark, but we're told that everyone around him is quite hostile to God, at least, and don't want to help. It's a long-term labour that he does. And you can imagine the children in the neighbourhood, as children might do, coming and peering over the fence at Noah, that crazy man who's building this ark. Look at him, what's he doing? And the people around him would be mocking him for, why are you doing this? Look, there's not a spot of rain in the sky. Why are you building this great big thing? But he was a preacher of righteousness and was telling them what was going to happen. It went all against common sense for him to do such a silly thing as build an ark. And yet, he did. He heard God and he acted. Noah was passionate for God's name. He was surrounded by people who were passionate about themselves. They wanted to go their own way. Genesis 6:5, it says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all of the time. Listen to that. Every inclination, only evil all of the time. That's pretty bad. That's a pretty bad state of things. But in contrast to that, we have Noah. In verses 8 and 9 of chapter 6, he walked with God. He found favour in the eyes of God. He was a blameless man among the people of his time. And he wanted to live out God's plan. As crazy as it might have been in that situation, despite all the violence, the immorality around him, he yielded his life to God. He heard what God has said and he acted upon it. He took seriously the warning that everything on earth will perish. And after building the ark, he's given 7 days' notice that the flood will come. And in that time, he is ready. 7 days' notice for such a huge project that he was working on. He held on to the plan that God had given him. He didn't deviate from it. He didn't think about how other things might affect it. He got hold of God's plan and he worked through that according to the plan that God had given him, not adding things to it, not thinking up his own ideas, but committed to what God was doing. In 2 Peter, Noah is described as a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. Let's evaluate his missionary effectiveness. He convinced none of his neighbours to give up their wicked ways. None of his neighbours. His only companions were the ones that couldn't really leave him. His wife, his 3 kids, and their wives. We have no record of how Noah felt about this. But I wonder if he felt disappointment. As a preacher of righteousness, no one other than the immediate family responded to his preaching. And yet in Hebrews 11, he is recorded as one of the great heroes of the faith. By faith, this is verse 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear,
built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith.
We might look at his life and think he was unsuccessful. But God sees a man who is full of faith, who is obedient and follows carefully after his plan. He did everything that God asked him. He built an ark in the middle of a dry place, whilst people around him ignored his message, carried on with their lives, getting married and being given in marriage, and he had no other security other than the ark. So there are a few things about Noah. What can we learn about him? A man of faith, a man who is passionate for God's heart, a man who hears God and acts in faith with what he's heard. Or what about God? Second section, God. We have here a tale of catastrophic destruction. And it stems back, as we've sung earlier today, about God's holiness. God's holiness that gives a hatred towards sin, a wrath that comes upon sin as people have turned away and gone their own way. But within this story, we also see his mercy. That he has made a way through that righteous anger, that righteous judgment, he has made a way through for people to be saved. As we read through the story of how this destruction takes place, it parallels Genesis 1. There's a decreation of the world going on. The waters end up no longer divided. And we return almost to the beginning few verses of Genesis 1, when the earth was formless, it was just covered with water. And yet in this case, we have a tiny ark floating on the surface. That final hope. A faithful man who is saving things. And as the waters subside, a new creation comes out from that. And there's a wonderful verse in Genesis 7 and verse 16. When Noah gets into the ark and all the animals are in there, they're all in there. Then the Lord shut him in. It was the Lord's doing. It wasn't Noah tugging on this door, sealing it up. No, the Lord came down. The Lord shut him in. Safe and secure. You almost get, I can get this kind of picture, that kind of fatherly figure, shutting someone in safe and secure, and then proudly tapping on the top of the roof of the ark. There's my boy. He's the faithful one. He's done good things. He's done well. And I'm just tucking you in now. You're safe. You're secure in there. And God has made a way for Noah to be saved. This story is not just about the wicked that are judged, but rather it tells us about God's heart to save the salvation of those righteous ones. Ones that are true to God. Ones that follow God. Ones that honour God. God has the power and the desire and the ability to bring them in and make them safe. This ark, these pieces of wood, helped avert God's righteous judgment on man. History shows that there is another piece of wood that enables humankind to avert the righteous judgment of God. One that was roughly put together by Roman soldiers. One that was used as a means of execution. One that was carried on the victim's shoulders one Friday morning. The cross of Christ. In Noah's day, we hear of people putting their faith in a lump of wood, the ark, that carried them to safety, carried them over and through God's righteous judgment upon them. We now know of the cross of Christ that we can put our faith in, that carries us safe and secure over the righteous judgment of God. That we can come to Jesus, we can come to the author and perfecter of our faith, and we too can be shut in with God. It is God's initiative. He makes us safe. He makes us secure as we are shut in with Him, as we take that step of faith and say, yes, Lord, your way is the way that I want to go. I want to repent of all the bad things I've done in the past. I put my faith in the saving power of Christ and the power of His resurrection. As Matt said during the worship time, I want to abide in you. I want to rest in you. I want to come to that place of sacrifice and come safe and secure with you. Jesus saves. Jesus gives us hope as we take that step of faith and say, yes, Lord, I accept what you've done. It's by faith. I take hold of your cross and I'm going to be free and released in what you've done. And those that are saved by the ark are brought into a new creation. It's fresh land. It's all new. It's all clean. Those of us who have been saved by the cross are also new creations. We come fresh. We come clean. But we also look forward to a future new creation as well, when everything is restored as God originally planned. There's a new world, a new creation ahead of us. We still exist in this old world. We look around us here, we hear of disasters. We hear of airplane crashes, we hear of riots, we hear of wars, we hear of political turmoils. We shouldn't be surprised. The Bible warns us about those things. But we're also promised a new world, a new creation, that we can look forward to that as the kingdom of God comes in all its fullness. We see it breaking in. When we see someone healed, it's the kingdom of God breaking in, what it's going to be like ultimately breaking into this current age. We see it happen now, but we will see it in all its fullness when Christ returns. And we are carried by God, safe and secure, into that new world. We're shut in by God with a firm hope, with a firm foundation of what is going to happen in the future. And we're even able to invite other people to join us on that journey. That offer of the cross, the offer of salvation, is open to everybody. You don't have to be a particular race. You don't have to be a particular class to have the offer of salvation. That new covenant offer of the cross of Christ. What do we learn? We've looked at Noah, we've looked at God. What is it for us to go away with? We live in a world like Noah was in. There's evil around us. But we are called, like Noah, to be a preacher of righteousness, to be salt and light, to tell others of God's grace and love before it is too late. And there are three things that I want us to go away with that we are to kind of to take hold of. The first is we are to persevere. Secondly, we're on a mission. And thirdly, there is an end point. So we are to persevere, we're on mission, there is an end. The first one is to persevere. And to have the courage to persevere. I don't think I can say much that adds to that from what we heard from Eileen this morning. She knows that. That call of courage to persevere. And she is an example to us. She is an encouragement to us. As she said, we have been to her because she is persevering. We don't always see the breakthroughs that we want to see. We might be ridiculed by people around us, at work, our neighbours. You don't believe in all that mumbo-jumbo stuff, do you? It's new things now. It's evolution. It's this, it's that. Actually, yes, I do. I believe in this. We may be waiting for a breakthrough in our family situation. We may be waiting for breakthrough in healing. Have the courage to persevere. As Noah continued in those years of building, I guess year after year after year, no encouragement around him, and yet he persevered. And we are to work to God's plans. We're not to compromise. We're not to wander away from the truth. It may seem the foolishness of God to men, but it is God's master plan. The ark worked. It didn't need testing and protected everyone that was in it because it was built to God's plan. So too with the gospel. So too with God's new master plan, new rescue plan. God has designed it. We need to show that clearly to the world. We don't have to add to it. We don't want to cut corners on it. We want to present that master plan that God has produced effectively to people in the world. Secondly, we're on a mission. Our task is to preach and demonstrate that the kingdom of God has come. Noah was called to repopulate the planet. We are called to see every nation saved. Our first step is not to be overawed by this huge task, but rather, as with Noah, we do it in God's strength. And God sees all your work. God sees all that you do for him. With Noah, it was quite easy. He had a huge ark start appearing in his backyard. Remember here, some people feel that they looked at other people and think, oh yes, it's clear to see what they've done for God. It's obvious. But God sees everything. It might be something that you are doing that people do not know about. God sees. God sees as you pray. God sees as you intercede, as you are hospitable, as you are generous. God sees that. We are to be obedient to his call for us. As we each are obedient, the job gets done. It's so often in our society that everything must be done in an instant. We have a culture of the instant. I saw this recently with one of my children who wanted to buy something from Amazon. He ordered it in the morning, and by the afternoon, where is it? Where is it? Oh, no, we're trying to explain. It takes time to get to the depot, to then go to the... And it arrived all of 2 days later. I reflected, do you remember in the old days it used to say 28 days for delivery? Yeah? In our culture now, we want it 2 days later. That's too long. We've got so caught up in that. God does not work to our timetables. We have to persevere and allow God to work. Hear him. Do as he says and trust him for the results. Thirdly, there is an end. There is an end point. The flood took people by surprise. We have been warned. One day, the end will come. We mock people who, perhaps in America, might say, the end of the world is coming, it's you know, 2:15 next week. We mock that, and rightly so. However, they are right in one element, and that is there is an end coming. There is an end. A day will come. The Bible describes it as coming as a thief in the night. We are to be ready. And as Peter writes to us in 2 Peter 3 and verses 3 onwards. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. And what do scoffers do? They come scoffing. Scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Same old, same old. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly man. There is an end in sight, and we have decisions to make. There are still preachers of righteousness today, I count us among them, who are saying, run to the cross. Go to the cross. Go to Jesus. Jesus saves. And you could be shut in with him. You can be secure. You can be safe. You can have that peace that you desire as you run to the cross. As you run to Jesus. But do it soon. The end is coming. It must come quickly. There's one final piece of wood I'd like to mention. That's right at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 3. It's Jesus speaking. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and eat with him and he with me. The door of our heart. Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart. Whether you're a believer here today or not, Jesus is knocking at that door. Won't you open your heart afresh to God today? Won't you open your heart and allow the Spirit to speak to you even this morning? What are we to learn? Courage to persevere. We're on a mission. And there is an end in sight. Can we stand, please? Father God, I thank you that you have a plan. You have a plan. We may not see that as we look around the world, but you have a plan. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've asked us to be part of that. That we've heard your voice, we've taken a step of faith, and we're believing that you are making a way for us as we are secure in you, as we are locked in, as we are closed in by God. We have our security in you. And Father, as my brothers and sisters are standing here, I pray, Spirit, that you impart now a courage to persevere in faith. For the many, many situations in this room where we need to persevere, whether it's at home, at work, whether it's to do with family, job situation, relationships, whether it's health issues, thought processes, we want to open our hearts. We want to open our hearts afresh to you. Spirit, come now. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we recognize it may not be an instant success, may not be an instant breakthrough, but we trust in you. And Father, we thank you we can go with a message of hope to the world. That everyone can be part of that plan. And I pray, Lord, that even this week we may have a chance to share with someone the love of Christ. They too can join and be part of this new covenant ark called the cross of Christ. Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please.